Hey folks, and welcome to the latest episode of the Business Success Network podcast with me, Gary Jones, Stacey Calder, and our latest cover star, Paul Hopkins. How you all doing? Now, this episode is breaking away from tradition and we are taking the Business Success Network podcast on the road. You see, Paul and Stacey were talking in the car in between meetings and they had so much content and so much value that they were kind of giving each other that they recorded the podcast. So, let's break away from tradition and let's catch up with Stacey Calder and Paul Hopkins from Vine Business Support in the latest episode of the Business Success Network podcast. Take it away, guys.
So, I'm on the road with Paul Hopkins from Vine
Business Support.
And we thought we'd do a bit of a podcast today while we're in the car, a bit of a chat, which isn't the normal business success format. However, we're not normal, are we?
we're not normal, and we've got a lot to talk about.
So we've just been over to a networking meeting and a training, and we've got an hour to kill, really, on the way home. So, Paul, do you want to introduce yourself first?
I'm Paul Hopkins of Vine Business Support, and we are we provide business advice and back office services to small to medium enterprises looking to develop sustainable, successful businesses. My own background is I started my first business in 1961, so I've got a lot of years of experience that I can pass on to my clients for their benefit.
Fantastic. And it's not just you in the business, is it?
No, I'm in partnership with my youngest daughter, Kerry. Kerry has a degree in marketing, 10 years experience in corporate marketing, and she's also a qualified bookkeeper. And Kerry manages all of the back office services side of the business, and I manage the business advisory side.
Sounds like a match made in heaven, really, with business services.
Yeah, well, fortunately, she's not just my daughter, she's one of my best friends as well, and that seems to work for us as a team, keeps us together, and between us we deliver a pretty good service to our clients.
And it must make it really personal and, you know, really kind of what's the word I'm looking for, you know, that you've got this business that you can pass on to your daughter and all this sort of, you know.
Yeah, it's not quite like that. It's in so far as the circumstances of us starting the business were Julie, my wife, Kelly's mum, died in 2017, and Kelly wanted a change in her life. It sort of instigated that sort of thought, and I'd spent 12 months with Julie, having given up business to look after her while she was poorly, and it was that set of circumstances that said, "Oh, let's combine our knowledge and skills and let's start buying business support." And it's working very well. Now we're in a situation where we're taking clients on at a steady rate, which is good, so we're getting the success we want. But our aim is to take on clients that we really want to work with. It's a true partnership. We turn down clients if we don't think they fit our model client, and if we don't think that'd be good for us to work with together, particularly for Kelly to work with in providing the ongoing support service. So that's how we operate.
And that's a real key thing, isn't it? I think when you first go into business, you're in danger of taking on any clients because you want the money. And I see this quite a lot. I don't know if you do. But actually, they're not the right fit for you or for them.
That's right. I do see it a lot, and that's sometimes when I get called in to look at people's problems with them. That's often the cause of the problem, in that they've not done the diligence. They've not seen how well they could work together to deliver to the client. Whereas our target, strangely enough, for the first 2 years in our business has not been financial, it's been the number of clients. And we know if we get the right number of clients with our business model, that we will retain those clients, and then that will be sustainable moving forward.
And it's, I mean, to set set up a business in those circumstances must have been quite, you know, upsetting. But also, it's great that something so good has come out of, you know, the set of circumstances that it was.
Well, that's right, and it is rewarding. But for me to be working with Kerry is fantastic, and so it means I see more of her than I normally would. Don't know whether she.
My dad would not like that. I have to say.
I don't know whether Kerry feels like, but I think she does largely, and. What I've found is Kerry's learning a lot from my experience, but also she brings a more modern flavour to our business than I might otherwise provide. So she will remind me, I will often hear the words, Dad, you can't say that anymore, type of approach in our
I
shouldn't ask for any examples, no. So yeah, it's really good. And it was a bit emotional, but also Julie died from a cancer called sarcoma, which is largely incurable. So we donate a percentage of our profits to Sarcoma UK.
Wow.
So that, that money can be put to use in memory of Julie.
That's amazing. And I've, you know, we travelled over to this meeting together. We've met networking a couple of times, but, you know, I've learned something new today. And I, you know, thanks for sharing that, because it makes me not look at your business differently, but I think it's nice to hear the backgrounds, and it makes, you know, is that about that, you know, networking is about building relationships and
indeed,
trust,
yeah.
And what a lovely thing to do, giving something back.
Yeah, I think a business is important, because I believe that you when you set up a business, you need to understand why you've gone into it and what your personal goals are and values, and if you can talk to people about those values, then they can understand more about the personality of the business and the people in it.
Absolutely, and I think, like you say, if you share those values, the clients that you're looking for will, like you say, be drawn to those qualities, and it makes your the finding of your clients much easier.
It does.
The right client, should I say.
And also, it makes it very easy for us when we first meet people who've heard the story, understand us, and we can talk about values as well as business. The financial considerations for our services are almost secondary, insofar as our engagement process, we have a couple of hours with any potential clients, and at the end of that couple of hours, they will have an action plan, which may involve us, it may not involve us. We'll understand each other better. And it's almost a discovery session where could we work together? And if we can, we can. If we can't, that's fine. Nobody's lost anything. Everybody's learned something. And the potential client has gone away with an action plan that will do their business some good anyway.
Which means, you know, great, because even if you're not going to work with them going forward, actually, they've still got something out of their time.
They have indeed,
Yes, that's fantastic for them.
It is, and normally if we were charging consultancy fees or coaching fees or whatever, then there'd be a cost associated with that. But with us, as long as they're prepared to put the time in and be open with us, then they will get something out of it.
That's brilliant. So, I mean, you've said you help support businesses, and you've come from a corporate background, that sort of thing. You must have seen some challenges with businesses and different markets and stuff over the years, but what would be your three top tips to somebody that runs a small business?
I think the first tip I would give is to make sure you understand why you're going into that business. What do you want out of it? What are your personal goals? And if you understand that, then you can gear your business towards supporting those goals. Because if you don't, and then you're going to end up when your business vision and your goals are misaligned, and you'll end up totally frustrated with one or the other, or in some cases even both. So my personal my vision from a financial perspective when I started in business was not to be a multimillionaire, but to get to a position where I was working from choice, not necessity. And that remained consistent throughout my career. The goals to get there changed occasionally, because every time I had a daughter, the money to achieve that went up significantly. But it was something that that I did and remained. And when I got to that position, that was great for me, because that ultimate pressure's off. and I could do things I enjoy doing. So that's the first tip. Understand why you're going into it and what your goals are. The second one is, for fledgling businesses, don't be afraid to ask. There are people out there at networking meetings, etc., who've been where you are and are more than willing to share their experiences with you and avoid... help you to avoid making the mistakes we've all made during this process. And the third piece is understand, have an exit plan.
Nice.
Because I meet some clients and they've built businesses on the understanding that probably their kids would come in and take over the business. But when it comes time to do that, the kids don't want to know because they've gone on and built careers of their own, etc. So have an exit plan so that you've always got your eye on that goal, and when time comes for you to move out, you've got a way of getting out. So if you want to sell the business, then you run against a different set of KPIs to somebody who wants to run it as a lifestyle business. So really understand that exit plan.
And that's a really good suggestion, not just for people that, you know, think they might want to pass it on to their children, but for anyone, because having been in a previous business that had no exit plan and a business partner that suddenly changed direction, or wanted to change direction, suddenly I found very quickly I needed an exit plan, and having not had one, it's much harder to put one in place while it's all going on and the stress and all that than actually having agreements and things in place.
And that conversation about partners would give me a fourth tip rather than a third one, which into partnership, make sure whether it's however much you trust the person you go into partnership with, draw up a partnership agreement.
And I cannot second that enough.
Yeah. I've seen many situations where partnerships have grown for one way or another, and people have found themselves in very sticky situations because of that.
Absolutely, and it's much better to have something and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Yeah. And it's a good reminder, and the first thing the first part of the negotiation on a partnership agreement is your exit arrangement. What happens when this partnership falls apart for whatever reason? So if I pop my clogs, what happens to my shares in the business? It's an important question to ask right at the beginning, because that really focuses the mind on are you going into partnership with the right people.
And I suppose, you know, roles and responsibilities come into that as well, because if that's not in place, you know, and you've got, say for instance, two directors, actually who's doing what and who's responsible for what, and what happens if, and you know, it goes
wrong
or it ends.
Exactly right. It's just so important. I was in one business with five partners, and we all signed up to a partnership agreement. We all knew what we were doing, and when it came to moving the company on, we all fully understood that how any divvy up would work, and also we understood if any of us was to fall by the wayside in terms of, I mean, could be death or anything, you've got to be careful. We had key man insurance in place so that we could afford from within the company then to buy the shares of our partner back so that their family would benefit from it as well.
Oh, lovely. And these are all things that you don't always think of at the beginning. And like you say, you're saying about, you know, if you've got any questions, ask. These are really key points that people should be asking, right? Because I think taking partnerships out of it, but when you're a sole trader, a lot of the people I speak to say, I'm going into business, so it's on my terms, and it's, you know, I want time with the family and all that. And then, so they quit the day job and they set up a business, and then they realise the business is running them, and actually they're not getting their days off and they're not getting this.
And that's because they haven't gone in on their terms. Because when you're in business, your customers dictate the terms. And you know, unless you're going to be a very strong person to turn business away, especially in the early days when you're looking to fill your basket with as much business as you can, so, of course you've still got to eat and you've still got to feed your family.
Absolutely, and there is a very fine line between, like you were saying earlier, about filling that diary with the right clients and taking on work because you absolutely need to in the early days, and burning yourself out.
That's right, and it's in that situation where perhaps as a sole trader, you really need to think how you manage your own time, how you control. You've got a limited bandwidth, and it's how can your time deliver the most value to your business. And so, doing the support services that we offer, why would you spend Sunday nights and bank holidays doing bookkeeping when you could pass it off to a relatively low cost resource so you can focus then on getting more business and delivering the things that you deliver where you get more value for your time?
Absolutely, and that's something I've definitely been working on recently. I've took on a couple of VAs just to get the admin side of it, you know, passed on, so that I can work on growing the business rather than just in it doing those, you know, daily tasks. And actually, I'm a big fan of outsourcing now. Kellyanne, that was on the last cover, she talked about outsourcing quite a lot. She's now become my VA. She's done a fantastic job at making me realise that I am not 100% fantastic at everything, and that actually,
really?
Yes, really. It's, you know, and actually, that sometimes we just need to let go.
That's right.
But as business owners, we can struggle with that thought of, but it's my baby, it's my business.
But we've got a number of small tradesmen in our client list, and one of their problems is managing their pipeline.
Yeah.
So they'll be working on a job, doing what they do, might be electrician, plumber, whatever, then they finish that job and all of a sudden...
So me and you are going to talk after this podcast, because interestingly, this is one of my, not bugbears, but I speak to tradesmen quite a lot, and as you know, we both do quite a lot of networking, and I find it remarkable how many tradesmen don't network, and I come up with this argument all the time, which is what you've just said. They're busy on a job, so they don't network.
Yeah.
And then the job finishes and they're going, where's my pipeline?
Where's my next piece coming from?
So I'm going to talk to you about the magazine, because I'm going to launch something pretty soon. I'm not going to discuss on the podcast yet, but it might be beneficial to your tradespeople clients.
Yeah, well, we call it pipeline management, so we manage the pipeline for the number of clients, so that we qualify the opportunities at first touch as they come in, so that we know how the tradesman's diet is booked up, so we can do all the initial qualification for him, so that he's got well qualified opportunities to pursue when he finishes on the job.
Which is fantastic. I'm really excited that we're doing this podcast, because I'm learning so much more about what you do, and like there's little light bulbs going off in my head as to, you know, whether we can work together or do something together. Is just fantastic. And this is the great thing about networking and drives home, really, isn't it? We get to chat in the car and have these exciting ideas. But also, you know, we've probably spent 15 minutes talking, and this is already jam-packed with golden nuggets that you've provided with business tips and all these sorts of things. So you spoke about tradespeople being your clients. Are they your main sort of client, or, you know, what is your ideal client, if you like?
Our ideal client is somebody within their first, if you like, 3 to 5 years. Startups are in their first 3 to 5 years, because at various stages you develop a business, you reach certain points, crossroads I call them, business crossroads, and you have to make decisions, and we like to be in a position to help them to make those decisions so that they don't make the wrong decision. I almost in some situations class myself as a sort of business sat nav. So I'm at this point in now, I'm turning over this, once I got these people, this is what's happening, what do I do next? Mm-hmm. And it's helping people to make that decision based on things we've encountered in the past.
And that, I suppose, having that extra set of eyes, it takes the emotion out of these decisions, because when it's your business, you know, if you've got to, I don't know, take on a staff or let a member of staff go or whatever it is, it can be quite an emotional time, and sometimes you know you're not working logically, you're thinking with your heart, and that's
the biggest problem. When I first got involved with some sort of mentoring, I was a volunteer mentor with the Prince's Trust,
right,
and I used to look at the business plans of these people. They didn't bring us in until the plan was approved by the Prince's Trust, which was almost a step too late. because they'd gone into these things full of enthusiasm. I can do this, I can do that. But they're just never given, or rarely given, any real thought to how they're going to go out and get that business in the first place. Now, the figures look fantastic. I can do you the business plan on the way back now, and you'll think you're a millionaire by the time we get home. But the fact is, you've got to make
it
happen.
How are you going to make it happen, yeah. And that's, yeah, so, I mean, I sit down with a lot of my clients. We go through action plans. I see people that come to me with these amazing action plans, and actually then, you know, you hold this, you have this accountability session or whatever, and actually they've not done what's on their action plan, but they're saying, I can't see why it's not working. And actually, for me, that's one of the most frustrating things. Similar to training someone on something, I don't know, Twitter, whatever, and you say, right, are you going to go off and use this? Yes, yes. And then you look and you just notice that they're nowhere online, and, you know, you just think, oh, you know, I've been paid, it's fine, but for them to have the skills and then not use them, it just, yeah, frustrates me.
it frustrates me as well. And you almost know that eventually, if they don't take the action now, it's probably going to get to a position where it's too late.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think the number one challenge is then, that people, what do they come to you with? Is it cash flow? Is it staffing issues? Is it that they just want to grow?
It's on the sort of bookkeeping side of things, I think the thing that's caused a bit of a peak was the making tax digital, because people just keep all the stuff in boxes and bring them at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And they're not managing the business. And until they get to grips with the figures, and that's the issue, people do not understand the figures. And they just govern it by a rough feel based on the invoices, whatever. But they're not managing. I mean, there's an old saying, profits for vanity. Turnovers for vanity, profits for sanity, but cash is reality.
Yeah.
And it's understanding those three things. And people just aren't in control of the business. They're just going day to day. Always another order, that's great, but they're not in control. And that also, I call it doing heads up business, which is keep seeing what's going on around you, seeing what your competitors
are doing. Survival mode, yeah, rather than...
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And there's no excuse for that now, because there's so much information available to people via the internet, via, if you like, bookkeeping systems, etc., that nobody should ever be able to not have the information at their fingertips that would make them manage their businesses more effectively and give them more time.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And I hold my hands up. I'm one of these that do my accounts, you know, sporadically, let's say. Last minute, I am getting better. They are always organised. There's a pretty spreadsheet and whatever else. But yes, Alison Mead, who we both know through networking, she now just looks at me at the networking event when she talks about making tax digital, because she knows it's something that I do need to pick up.
As well is we look at the figures as we produce the books, and then we can see the alarm bells or not. And part of our service is that we have an hour with them every month.
And that's fantastic, isn't it? Because if you've got your figures to hand, and it's better to catch something
early and be
aware of it than for it to smack you in the face.
And we help them to do more accurate forecasting and that sort of thing, because that's the other thing. People put a forecast together full of optimism, whereas I try and bring some realism into it, because you plan your business on your forecast, if your forecast is any good, and you plan your expenditure against your forecast.
And it's okay to have goals, but actually that realistic approach.
Yeah, it's got to be.
You can't just pull a number out of the sky, can you?
No.
Well, Paul, we've been chatting for quite a while now, so I am going to give you a chance to concentrate on the road again a little bit.
What's this field we're driving through?
I have no idea. Yeah, at least the sat-nav knows this road, hey? But it's been great talking to you.
Thank you for sharing all
your nuggets. I'm pretty sure we're going to reconvene another podcast or something very soon. So, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Wow, what an interview. Thank you so much, Stacey. Thank you so much, Paul. And remember, if you want to check those out, check out Stacey Orpel, please do. And I'll tell you what, share with us what your favourite nugget of golden content was from the podcast. We'd love to hear that. And please, please, please get in touch. Thank you so much for listening today. Paul will be the cover star in the autumn edition of Business Success magazine. So check that out. See you all soon, guys. Take care, my friends. Goodbye.